I'm pulling out my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, I realize I haven't done a card podcast in a while, where I pick some subject, and then I go through and talk about the cards in that subject. So for today, I've chosen early one drops. That's my theme today. So I'm going to start with Alpha, and I'm going to go chronologically in order for as long as I can until I get to work. And I'm going to talk about, so the category today is one drop creatures, which is creatures that cost one single mana. And we're going to talk all about one early one drops. That's our theme. So we're going to start with Alpha. Alpha had 12 one drops, six of which were in green. So let's start there. Okay, so first off, we'll start in white. So the classic Benelish Hero, white for a 1/1 with banding. For those that might not know what banding is, because banding has not been part of Magic for a while, it was an ability, a very complicated ability, but basically allowed you to combine banding creatures with non-banding creatures to make what's called a band, where they sort of all attacked or blocked together. And then you, the controller of the band, decided like how damage went to the band. Anyway, it was complicated. But Benelish Hero was the very first banding creature. In fact, it wasn't even called banding. I think it said bands on it. It later got changed to banding, but it originally says Benelish Hero, summon hero, bands. The one other white one drop in Alpha was at rare was Savannah Lion. W for 2/1. That's it. That, I believe, is the only two power one drop in Alpha is Savannah Lion. And at the time, it was considered like a rare, you know. Now we do it a common. So one of the things that's really interesting is early Magic kind of underestimated the power level of spells and some permanents like artifacts and really overestimated creatures. I get it. Creatures get to keep attacking turn over turn. So Richard was a lot more conservative with creatures. It turns out of like the one drops I'm talking about today, with one or two exceptions, all of them are just printable today. I mean, some of them we wouldn't print because they're out of color power stuff. But from a power level standpoint, I think there's actually only one card here that I don't think will print in standard. So the power level in general of cards were much lower, of creatures were much lower. Okay, next, Blue's one drop was the Merfolk of the Pearl Trident. It's a 1/1, and it does nothing. I mean, it's a Merfolk is the real answer. So in Alpha, there were three lords. There was a lord for Merfolk, one for goblins, and one for zombies. So the idea here is Lord of Atlantis was the lord, although he wasn't a Merfolk. And there was one Merfolk in the set. But remember, in early Magic, you could play as many cards of the same card if you wanted. So you could play a bunch of Lord of Atlantises and as many Merfolk of the Pearl Trident as you desired. That was the one Merfolk. But being a Merfolk was enough, so it didn't do anything else. Next, Black's only one drop in Alpha. This is a good trivia question. Ask people, what was the only one drop black creature in Alpha? This is a hard one. Like, people will get Merfolk and Pearl Trident and Benelish Hero and stuff like that. What is it in black? It is Will O' the Wisp. Will, all with hyphens. It's a 0/1. It has flying, and for one black mana, it can regenerate. So it's a very defensive creature. Unless you pump it up some way, put auras on it or something, you couldn't. It wasn't very aggressive because it has zero power. In fact, it's interesting. There are three flying creatures in Alpha at one drop. And only one of them has power. Only one of them can actually deal damage to the opponent. We'll get to that in green. Okay, next we get to red. Red has two one drops. One is Monza's Goblin Raiders at common, which is a 1/1 vanilla. Much like Merfolk and Pearl Trident, it's a goblin to go with the Goblin King. And then at uncommon, there's Goblin Balloon Brigade, 1/1. For a red mana, you can make it fly till end of turn. So it's interesting to note, one of the things that Richard purposely did in Alpha was strictly betters at higher rarities. Goblin Balloon Brigade is for one red mana, a 1/1 goblin, just like Mon's Goblin Raiders, but it has activated flying. So it's strictly better. Meaning, if you were going to make a deck, and you can play as many copies of things as you wanted, well, you would play Goblin's Balloon Brigade over Mon's Goblin Raiders if you had them. I mean, it's an uncommon, not a common. But Richard was definitely demonstrating that things could get strictly better. He does that a bunch of other times, too. But this is one good example. Okay, green actually has six of the one drops. Half the one drops are in green. So one of the things early on is, in Alpha, green is really the creature color. And green is good at all levels of all creatures, has the most creatures, has the biggest creatures. Eventually we realized that we wanted to divvy that up. And white becomes the color of volume of creatures and small creatures, and green becomes bigger creatures. So white ends up, nowadays, white has more creatures in, you know, more actual cards that are creatures than green does, and they tend to be smaller. But in alpha, that wasn't true. Green was the creature color, and it had the most creatures, the biggest creatures. It had everything creature-related. We later realized creatures are so important, we could divvy that up some. Okay, first, Birds of Paradise. This was rare. Green for a 0/1 that flies, and you can tap it for any mana of color. So Birds of Paradise, I think, is the only one where I don't think we'll print in Standard right now. And I'm not even 100% sure Standard couldn't handle it. It makes splashing colors a little easy, and flying really isn't a green thing, but it's probably the card that's the power level that we most question. I mean, Llanowar Elves we'll get to in a second, but that's in Standard right now. But we'll get to that in a second. Birds of Paradise has an interesting story. Mark Poole, I believe, who illustrated this card, originally illustrated the card for one of the dual lands. Volcanic Island, I want to say, but it's one of the, maybe it's Tropical Island or Volcanic Island. And then in the front was this bird that had all this focus. And Richard liked the bird so much, they ended up making a card for the bird and then had a new piece of art commissioned for the dual land. Anyway, the Birds of Paradise is pretty iconic. Bolt to the bird. Do you bolt to the bird? Yes, you always bolt the bird. Or most of the time, you bolt the bird. Okay, Llanowar Elves. Green for a 1/1, tap for green. This is about as iconic as one drops get. We purposely chose to put it into Foundations, even though it is a very powerful card, and it defines and warps the environment. But we decided in a way we liked, and it is super, super iconic for green. Green is the color of ramping. It has been since day one. It is still the color of ramping. So, Llanowar Elves. An interesting thing is the other thing that we don't do anymore is we tend not to do plurals in names. More like we'd make, nowadays we make it Llanowar Elf, not Llanowar Elves, but it's iconic, and it's one of the cards that really has been grandfathered in just because it's such a core, memorable Magic card from the very beginning. Next, Scrib Sprites. It was common. Green, 1/1, flying. Yes, the first one-drop flyer that had power, 1/1, was in green. I guess also, it's funny. The three flying one-drops in the set are two green creatures and a black creature. No blue one-drop flyer, no white one-drop flyer. Those will come, but it's funny. Nowadays, blue and white are sort of the flying colors, but in Alpha, they didn't get one-drop flyers. What happened with Scrib Sprites is I think Richard was like, oh, they're fairies. Fairies are woodland creatures, and he put them in green. But eventually we realized that green really wasn't the flying color, and so we shifted fairies to be core to blue, because blue could have flying. So while you occasionally see fairies in green, you just see them a lot less than you see them in blue and black and a little bit in white. Shannon Dryad, green 1/1, Forest Walk. Here's another ability that people might not know. So Forest Walk said, if your opponent has a forest, this creature is unblockable. The idea being is I'm so sneaky in the forest that if my opponent is forced, I sneak through their forest and they can't stop me. We got rid of Land Walk because it was a little too situational, meaning if I'm playing against a creature playing green, my creature is unblockable and there's no way for you to stop it. And if I'm playing against someone who's not playing green, it's just a dinky 1/1. Like the variance was a little too high. So we ended up moving to something like Menace where your opponent has things they can do to interact with it rather than just, well, I guess I chose to play Forest, what can I do? Next, Timberwolves. So Timberwolves costs one green mana for a 1/1, it had banding. So it's literally the exact same card as Bendel the Shiro, but it's at rare. So this is again showing Richard, showing like, oh, banding is a white thing, and green gets it a little bit. Now green ended up not, other than Timberwolves, I don't even know if green got another banding card, so banding was never really a green thing. It stayed in white. White mostly had the banders. But it's interesting to show Richard sort of saying, oh, well, you got the same card, but this color's better at it, so you get it at a lower rarity. There's a lot of sort of educational things in Alpha trying to teach you the idea of how certain colors did certain things, so part of that can be shown in rarity as well. And finally, the final creature, the one-drop creature in Alpha, is Wall of Wood. So Wall of Wood was a 0/3 defender. It was a 0/3 wall. At the time of Alpha, wall came with the rules text of can't attack. We later decided we didn't want creature types having rules text. Legend got moved to legendary for creatures. It was legend for a while. And then we made wall, we added the defender ability, added it to all walls. So all walls gain defender. And even now, I don't think we make walls that don't have defender. Pretty much, if it's a wall, it has defender. Some walls have the ability to attack under certain circumstances, but pretty much all walls are defender by you know, default. Okay, so that is Alpha. Alpha has 12 one drops. So now we move ahead to Arabian Nights. Alpha came out in August of 1993. So the first new expansion, I mean, the first set with new content, was Arabian Nights, came out in December of 93, January of 94, depending where you were. But it came out around that period. So it had a number, it had a decent number of one drops. We'll start with, in white, Abu Jafar. It's a white 0/1, but it kills any creature blocked or blocking it. Blocked by or blocking it. So the idea is, it sort of was a leper, I guess. Like, the idea is that it's sick, and if you block it, then you get sick and you die too. Now, the interesting thing about it is it's a 0/1. Now, it is way too good defensively, because it just says, oh, I kill any creature that attacks. So it kind of has death touch in a way. I mean, that's not too good, but defender is very good defensively. It was 0/1, so the idea was if I attack with it, there's no reason to block it. So you want to pump it up or, you know, put an aura on it. There's a lot of early magic, by the way, of like, oh, I'm not useful unless you enchant me with auras. Like, there was a lot of early designs that really pushed you to want to play auras. And Abu Jafar was one of those. Next is Camel. Another 0/1 for one white mana. So all the white cards, all the one-drop white cards in Arabian Nights are 0/1s. This has banding, and it has what I will call immunity to deserts. What it means is there's a card called Desert in the set. Deserts tap for colorless mana, or you could tap it to do one damage to target attacking creature. That's pretty strong. So even though we've done other desert cards, we don't tend to reprint desert. I mean, we're allowed to, but it's just kind of too good. But anyway, if you're in a band with a camel, it protects you from damage to deserts, which is super flavorful. I do appreciate that. Okay, next, a card I played a lot of, Flying Man. So Flying Man is just a blue script sprites. It's blue, 1/1 flying. I had a little blue-green weenie deck that played script sprites in Flying Man, and the idea was I would use Giant Growths and Unstable Mutations and Berserk, and I would just have this little weenie deck that out of the blue would deal 20 damage to you, like, before you could blink. It was very fast in dealing damage. Merchant Ship, our first 0/2 one-drop. So blue mana, 0/2. It has sort of what we called old Saboteur. Nowadays, Saboteur means when you deal combat damage, this effect happens. In the olden days, Saboteur was if you deal combat damage, if you are unblocked and deal combat damage, you may not deal damage and instead do this effect. Now, it was a 0/2, so they didn't say you could prevent the damage. But the idea is if this creature is unblocked, attacking and unblocked, you get to gain 2 life. And the fact that it's an 0/2, your opponent might go, well, it's not going to damage me, but it's like if they don't block it, you gain life. And so it's an interesting sort of design of, it's not that I'm going to damage you, but it does do something for me, so do I want to block or not block, which is kind of interesting. It also had what was called Island Home. We've since no longer called it Island Home, but and also originally in Alpha when it first showed up on Sea Serpent, it wasn't written as Island Home. Eventually, we called it Island Home, and then we went back and stopped calling it Island Home. Island Home just means you sack me if I don't have an island, and I can't attack you unless you have an island. And the idea essentially is, oh, I'm a ship. Well, I can't exist unless there's water, and I can't attack unless you have water. Much like Landfall, Island Home and Forest Home, and it was flavorful. It just made the card really unusable, and it really sort of punished an opponent if they happened to be playing Island, so we stopped doing that ability. Next, we get to red. There's no black one drop in Arabian Nights. Alibaba. Note, Alibaba is not legendary, even though it's referencing a very specific character. Legends don't happen until legendary creatures do not, or legendary anything, doesn't happen until the legend set, which is the third expansion, we're in the first expansion. So Alibaba is red, R and tap, tap target wall. Red really has his hatred for walls in early magic. Tunnel, for example, which is a card that destroys walls, is an alpha. So anyway, red has this thing out for walls. I'm not sure why it has a thing out for walls, but it doesn't like walls. Also, the idea of tapping walls, like, one of the things you'll notice in early is that the color pie is still finding its feet. Red is not a tapping color, but he does tap walls here. Her Jackal, red, 1/1. Tap to prevent regeneration. Another trend in early Magic is there's a bunch of cards that regenerate, meaning you could usually spend mana, and then instead of going to the graveyard, the card sort of returns to play tapped. And it was a way to sort of save your creature. With the 6th edition rules, with the stack, it sort of changed how it functioned, and it became a little less intuitive. Basically, you would sort of set up a shield ahead of time, and then if you took damage, instead of it going to the creature, the shield would sort of disappear. But anyway, there's this early trend of hosing regeneration, as if regeneration was just running wild. Most of the kill spells in black not just kill creatures, but didn't let them regenerate. And there just was a lot of anti-regeneration clauses. I'm not quite sure why. Regeneration was never very powerful. But anyway, there's a lot of anti-generation stuff, regeneration stuff. The final red one drop is the most powerful. Actually, a card that I think was banned or restricted for a little while. Curdape. Curdape is red for a 1/1, but it gets +1/+2, so it becomes a 2/3 if you control a forest. So early Magic, in red-green decks, I mean, you had to be playing red and green, but in red-green decks, this was very effective and very powerful, and actually saw a decent amount of play. Okay, then we get to the green cards. There's a couple green cards. Gazban Ogre is a green card. A 2/2! The first 2/2 one-drop. But at the beginning of your upkeep, it goes to the player who has the most life. It can betray you. This card actually saw a bunch of play back in the day, and the idea was, if I'm playing a really aggressive green deck, I can play these early because I'm going to do damage fast enough that you're not going to be able to catch up to me. And the idea is you can put them out, you could giant growth them, like, you would do enough damage with them early that your opponent had trouble catching up. They used to call these decks Stompy, which was a mono green deck that was, like, very, very aggressive and fast. Okay, next, Nath's Asp. Green for a 1/1. If it deals damage to the opponent, before the opponent's next draw step, or before they draw a card, they have to spend one mana or they lose an additional life. So this is kind of like a green 2/1, except your opponent has an out, which means they can spend mana to prevent one of the damage, essentially. The flavor here is that it's poison and you have to treat the poison. The poison mechanic itself doesn't happen to Legends, but this is clearly playing in, you know, poison-ish flavor space. And then finally, the very first artifact one drop happens in Arabian Nights, Brass Man. And it's the first one drop that's a 1/3. But it doesn't untap it as normal. You must pay one to untap it. So the idea is you get a little more than normal, but there's a cost to using it. Now, you're not forced to untap it, so it's not like an upkeep cost where you have to pay one. But if you want to keep it untapped or attack with it again, you have to spend that. A lot of time was spent with Brass Man. I know people would like give it vigilance and things. Okay, Antiquities. Antiquities had a single one drop. Goblin Artisans. It's a quirky one. It's a red one drop. So when you cast an artifact, you can flip. You can tap this card. If you do, you flip a coin. If you win the coin, you draw an extra card. If you lose the coin flip, you counter the artifact you just cast. So once again, this is one of the very early coin flip cards. The very first one, which was the Arabian Nights, which was the lamp, where you either did 5 damage to you or you got a 5/5 flying creature. So early coin flips were a little too severe. We have since learned that, like, you know, let's say you have a big effect and a small effect, but both are positive. One's just a smaller positive effect. The smaller positive effect feels negative. You didn't get the bigger positive effect. You don't have to have an actual negative effect. I think they were a bit harsh. I mean, now, I know people that use this back in the day, they would, on, like, really, really cheap artifacts, so the idea is I would use them early, and later on I would trade them in to try to get cards, but it was never a good card. It was just people trying really hard to see if they could make it work. Okay, next is Legends. So, Legends, we started in white. Clergy of the Holy Nimbus. White for a 1/1 that regenerates when it dies unless your opponent pays one. This card caused a lot of problems, because what happens if I get in a state where my opponent can't pay one, but it keeps coming back if it regenerates unless they pay one. So there's states in which it keeps dying over and over again. For example, let's say there's something that gets -1/-1 And so the idea is it regenerates, but then the state-based effect kills it again. So it causes the game to go to a draw. So that card has some problems. Tundra Wolves, one white mana for a 1/1 first strike. This card shape we've done many, many times, but Tundra Wolves was the first one. Vampire Bats, black for a 0/1 flying creature. For one black mana, you gave it +1/+0, but you can only use it 2 times. So you could pump it to be a 2/1 creature. Primordial Ooze in red. So this is a 1/1. It must attack each turn. In the beginning of your upkeep, you have to put a +1/+1 counter on it. And then you must spend X. And X is the number of +1/+1 counters on it. Or it deals damage to you equal to the number of counters. This is one of those things that I look back. First of all, I think it might be the first ooze. I like oozes. It's odd that it's in red. It has a chaotic feel, I guess. This is the kind of thing today, it would be a 0/0 that comes with a +1/+1 counter. So that when you're counting counters, it's not like... It's weird that X is the number of counters, not the power of the creature. Nowadays, we would line those up so they would be the same thing. Very chaotic. I did play with Primordial Ooze. I like oozes, so... I'm not sure if this really was the thing that got off my love of oozes, but I did play Primordial Ooze. Finally, Ailing Leprechaun. For how many cards magic has in existence? I think this is the only leprechaun. So green for a 1/1 creature. If any creature is blocked or blocks... this creature, it turns green permanently for the rest of the game. There's a lot of permanent color changing in early Magic. I'm not quite sure. I mean, color mattered a lot more in early Magic. There were more effects. Protection was a lot more rampant. And there were just more effects that cared about color. But there was a surprising amount of permanent color changing in early Magic. Okay, now we get to the dark. Miracle Worker is a white 1/1. You tap it to... destroy target aura on a creature you control. It's just hosing negative auras. So if your opponent, I mean, pacifism didn't exist yet, but if you put something like pacifism, a weakness or whatever, something that was, back in the day, I guess weakness existed, you could use it to get rid of things on you. I'm not sure quite. Auras were already not that great, so hosing auras specifically. Okay, Electric Eel. It's a blue 1/1. When it enters, it does 1 damage to you. And for red, you could do, you can give it +2/+0 and do 1 damage to you, the controller. I think this is the first off-color activation. The activation is off-color. Alpha had some off-color, but they were ally, I believe. This is the first enemy one. Anyway, this card was very flavorful in the sense it's an electric eel and it damages you. Not really a particularly blue thing to do, but I get the flavor. Next is Water Worm. A 1/1 worm for blue. We don't do a lot of 1/1, one drop worms. It has +0/+1 if the opponent has an island. Sort of, once again, it's kind of like, oh, it's going to ward if my opponent's playing a particular type of, a particular color. Okay, Bog Rats, black, 1/1, can't be blocked except by walls. Legends, by the way, had this major wall theme. There are all these walls and glyphs that helped walls and... Anyway, so of course, why not? Can't be blocked by walls. The flavor is good. The rest can't be blocked by walls. Okay, Goblin Digging Team, red for a 1/1. Tap sack, destroy target wall. Red's wall hate continues. This one, Alibaba, you tap it, but you don't lose Alibaba. So this one, you can destroy it, but then it goes away. That did seem... In my day, I played some Goblin Digging Team. Goblins of the Flarg. That is red for a 1/1. It has Mountain Walk, meaning it can't be blocked if your opponent has mountains. And you sack it if you ever controlled a dwarf. The goblins and the dwarves don't like each other. The hard thing was, it was already bad enough that goblins were eating dwarf slots just because dwarves and goblins tend to want to go in the same slot, which are small red creatures. So goblin was already beating up dwarves there. And now, you want to play a goblin deck, it's like, well, don't play dwarves in your goblin deck. So, not that you tend to play dwarves in your goblin deck, but... okay, Elves of Deep Shadow. So this is green for a 1/1. It taps for a black mana, but it does 1 damage to you. So this is sort of a Llanowar Elf for black, although because it's black and not green, it does 1 damage to you. I believe, so when I did a card called Look at Me on DCI, where I had the distinction of I was the person who designed the card, who named the card, who wrote the flavor text for the card, and who illustrated the card. I believe Elves of Deep Shadow is the only card I know of that I believe Jesper Mierforce was the lead designer of the dark. I believe he made this card. I believe I know he illustrated this card. And I think he did most of the names and flavor text. So I believe he did all the pieces of this card. Unless he says otherwise, I believe he did. So for the trivia question, I believe there's two cards where one person did all component pieces. The Look at Me, the DCI from Unglued is the other one. Okay. Savan Elves, green for a 1-1. For green, green tap, destroy target enchanted land. So the idea here is green can destroy lands. So what this card did is, if you put lands on your opponent's lands, because there's enchant lands, you then can destroy them. Now, it's a lot of hoops to jump through to destroy lands, but also repeatable artifact, land destruction. It's not really something we do much of, but I guess we did it then. Scavenger Folk, green, 1-1. Green and tap, destroy target artifact. This guy saw a lot of play in early Magic. We ended up making better artifact destructions in green. He was a sideboard in my green deck. That if I was worried about an artifact or things, I'd side him in so that I could deal with artifacts. It's one of the better early green anti-artifact cards. Scavenger Folk. Oh, no, I just said Scavenger Folk. Whippoorwill. So Whippoorwill's a weird card. It's a green 1-1. First off, it's a bird shown in flight that does not fly. It's one of the things that got us to change the rules in art, saying, okay, if you are shown flying, you must have flying. If you are flying, it must look as if you fly. You could have wings and things, but it must be clear that you are a flying creature. So Whippoorwill has a very bizarre ability. So it's green, green tap. Target creature can't be regenerated, can't have damage prevented, and if it dies this turn, it gets exiled. I'm not sure why this little bird does all that, but it does. Quirky, I know. Okay, I'm almost done here. My goal was to get through all the one drops of the first 2 years of 93 and 94. So that leaves Fawn Empires. So we will quickly go through Fawn Empires. So Icacian Infantry, it's a one for one white mana, it's a 1/1. It has two activated abilities. For one mana, it can gain banding till end of turn, and for one mana, it can gain first strike till end of turn. Banding, by the way, is very complicated. So having a creature that can opt into having banding for the turn, just an extra level of complexity. But it wasn't a bad card. If you actually ever played Fallen Emperor's Limited, which I did, actually it was a very good card. But that's because banding is quite good in defense. Okay, Icacian Javelinaire. It's a 1-1 creature for one white mana. It enters with a javelin counter. And then you can tap it and remove the javelin counter to do one damage to any target. Now, isn't that white's color pie? No. White can do damage like attacker blockers and things, but white just doesn't do universal damage. It is a cool effect. We would later make a card similar to it in red. The idea that I have a one-use ability, like I have an ability for one turn, this card had a lot of influence in getting other Magic cards like that. The idea that I have an ability, but I only get to use it once is actually pretty cool. And was one of the things that in my mind, that helped kind of inspire energy to a certain extent. The idea that I have abilities, but I only get so many uses of them. I had fond members of Icacian Javelinaire, so that definitely had an influence on that ability. Okay, next up is Icacian Money Changer. This is a weird one. Okay, so it's white for a 1-1. It comes with three... what kind of counters were they? Was it money counters? What was it? Credit counters. Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that. It comes with three credit counters. When it enters, you lose three life. It does three damage to you. But then every upkeep, you get a counter on it. And when it dies, you get life equal to the counter. So the idea is I lose life up front, but I get life back when it gets sacrificed. Because you can sacrifice to gain life. So the idea is I lose life up front. Now, one of the problems was if you cast it in response to casting it, they blow it up. I'm not sure whether you get the life when that happens. It was a weird card. Icacian Priest, white for a 1-1. One white, target creature gets first strike till end of turn. So you can grant first strike. A lot of... the thing they were doing in Fallen Empires is the white creatures were making an army that came together, and it's really showing white sort of... You're starting to see early white getting lots of small creatures that work together. I mean, obviously, banding already existed, but... Next, Initiate of the Ebon Hand. Oh, sorry. Icacian Scout. 1/1 for white. 1 in tap, target creature. Oh, I said the Constructor. Oh, sorry. Icacian Priest was 1 white, target creature gets +1/+1 till end of turn. Icacian Scout was 1/1, 1 tap, target creature gets first strike till end of turn. So the idea of Icacian Priest, it was, I'm not sure whether it was uncommon or rare. It might have been rare. But the idea is you can pump your team with it. Okay, now we get into black. Initiative of the Ebon Hand. Black for a 1/1. 1. Add B, so it can convert mana from any color into black, except if you did it 4 times, you had to destroy the Ebon Hand. So usually you can only do it 3 times a turn. Dwarven Armor, red 1/1. For 1 red and tap, and you can discard a card to put a +0/+1 or a +1/+0 counter. This is early times, mini counters. 1 card is 2 different counters, neither of which is a +1/+1 counter. So you could boost power, you could boost toughness, but you had to give up a card to do that. And the idea is it's a dwarf, and it's crafting you know, a weapon or something. Goblin Churgeon, red 1/1. Sack a goblin, regenerate target goblin. And so, once again, the color pie is a little fuzzy in the early days, but the idea is, if you sacrifice a goblin... Oh, I'm sorry. I think you can regenerate target creature, but you're going to sack a goblin to do it. If you sack a goblin, you can regenerate any creature. So the idea is the Churgeon will give you goblin parts, I guess. Orcish Captain, red for a 1/1. For 1 mana, you could flip a coin. Choose an orc. Then you flip a coin. If you win, that orc is +2/+0. But if you lose, that orc gets -0/-2. Still haven't quite got coin flips of make them positive. Next, Orcish Spy. Red for a 1/1, tap, look at the top 3 cards of target player's library. Okay, not really a red ability, but the idea is does he just look at your library? I think it's target player's library, but anyway, the joke is that he looks at your library because he's a bad spy. But okay, finally we get to green. Elvish Scout, green for a 1/1. Green and tap, untap a target attacking creature, and then all damage to it and from it is prevented. So the idea is if your opponent makes a block you don't like, you can kind of like mini fog it, because green was the color of fog, preventing damage. And then finally, the final green one drop in Fallen Empires, Thalid. So it's a 1/1 in green. Every upkeep you put a spore counter on it, and then 0, remove 3 spore counters. You can make a 1/1 green sapling. That's where saplings first appeared. They were part of the Thalid theme in Fallen Empires. So anyway, guys, that is all the one drops in the first 2 years of Magic. So anyway, I hope you found this jaunt through old Magic interesting. But I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking Magic, it's time for me to be making Magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.